Someone separate those two.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. There's a new report out today that says banks are still having a tough time with troubled assets, that good loans and bad loans shouldn't be piled together. The Congressional Oversight Panel says the combination of the bad loans, commercial and residential, plus a rising jobless rate could spell trouble. Harvard professor Elizabeth Warren chairs the group.
The panel calls for much more transparency, much more openness about the degree of bad assets that are on the bank's books. If we don't start by acknowledging where the problems are, we can't write them off, sell them off, and separate the banks that have to be closed from those that are going to be solid and remain open. In other words, we stay in a sort of netherworld in between success and failure. Not good for the banks, and ultimately not good for the economy.
Now, Warren says there should be a way to clean up bank balance sheets. The report says the Treasury should be buying up bad assets, especially from smaller banks. And she points to a public-private investment plan designed to buy up those assets that has yet to get off the ground. But as I mentioned, commercial real estate is part of the problem, too, and the Federal Reserve will likely be talking about that, among other items, today when Chairman Ben Bernanke and his colleagues meet in Washington. World markets are keeping an eye on the Fed meeting, of course. European shares are pretty much flat right now, some up, some down, just barely, though. Another day of gains in Asia, the Hang Seng and Nikkei up about 1%. Wall Street yesterday, markets were lower by about 0.3% for the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500. Latest reports today out of China show the country's on the way back. Industrial output, trade, and retail sales all improved last month. Beijing is in the middle of a multi-billion dollar stimulus to provide medicine to the world's third largest economy. But there are some side effects to all the feel-good news. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Chinese factory production went up 11% over last year. Retail spending rose 15%. Credit the government's $600 billion stimulus package. Thing is, it's not clear all the money is being used the right way. China's stimulus is mostly government loans that pay for infrastructure projects. But economist Frank Song at the University of Hong Kong has a sneaking suspicion that some loans went to companies and individuals who played the stock market.
A part of that might be channeled into the stock markets and the real estate market. So this may create some risk if the bubble bursts.
If the bubble bursts, those government loans would go sour. Shanghai stock market is up 78% this year, and skeptics say the government stimulus has created what they call superficial exuberance. Frank Song also frets about wasteful spending on infrastructure projects.
A lot of these highways and the bridges, for example, there's not much traffic.
And without traffic, those projects could lose money. Another way the government loans could turn non-performing. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia.
As states struggle to cut their budgets, one place to look is prisons. It's expensive to lock people up, about $80 a day per prisoner. But politicians can end up paying a dear political price for letting prisoners out. So it's interesting that one of the places that's had the most success stabilizing their prison population is Texas, a state with a reputation for having some of the toughest penalties in the country. From Austin, reporter Michael May has more.
Over the past 30 years, Texas's prison population has grown about 8 times faster than its population. There are more than 150,000 people in Texas prisons today. 2 years ago, the Legislative Budget Board released a projection that Texas would need to house 17,000 more prisoners by 2012. Republican Representative Jerry Madden is chairman of the House Committee on Corrections.
That's very expensive. A new prison in Texas holds somewhere between 2,000 and 2,500 and runs us $250 to $300 million to build and roughly another $40 to $50 million a year to run and man.
Here's the math. The state would need to spend $2 billion building prisons, plus $300 million more a year to run them. So in 2007, the legislature overwhelmingly passed a series of reforms aimed at keeping people from rotating in and out of prisons. Madden says they're smart without being soft.
Oh, it was definitely tough. We put people who had drug problems, we put them into facilities to get treatment, which is much tougher for them than just going in, let's say, a short period of time in our state jails and going out without treatment. That's much tougher. We have not made it so that it's an easy thing in the prisons or reduced anything other than we've made it so that we put programs out there that may change lives.
The state invested in drug courts and programs for the mentally ill. Judges were given the flexibility to punish probation violators with community service instead of jail time. Scott Henson is a longtime criminal justice advocate in Texas. He says lawmakers should focus on probation because it costs less.
And with a lot more bang for the buck, because their rehabilitation occurs in the community. When it's done, they're already there. There isn't the reentry barrier to get back over.
But Henson says there has been a barrier keeping other states from following Texas's example. He says rehabilitation programs often get caught up in political squabbles.
Most of these issues really are not very partisan when you get down to it. There's more common ground than the partisan game playing would have you immediately believe.
And here in Texas, the change in incarceration policy has had an economic return. The state won't need to build another prison until 2013. In Austin, I'm Michael May for Marketplace.
Finally, we could be seeing more plastic bottles of wine. Industry officials say while the price is not that much cheaper than glass right now, it'll fall once they're mass-produced. One winery, Peralta, in Torrance, California, is just one going plastic. It sells a 1-liter plastic bottle for as much as a 750-milliliter glass bottle. But the bottles carry an expiration date. Drink up, unless you're looking for some vinegar. Have some thoughts about plastic wine bottles or maybe an idea to solve the global financial crisis? Please share it with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.